Hello, this is Justice Radio, a weekly show on WMPG with your host, Linda Small. I'm the executive director of Reentry Sisters, an organization that specializes in helping women and girls return home from prison. And you can learn more on our website at reentrysisters.org.
Hi, my name is Nicole Lund, and I am the co-host of this episode of Justice Radio.
And today we are speaking with John Courtney of Inside Vision, Ashley Hamilton, ED of Can Art Change the World, and Damaris Damkin, Program Manager of Inside Out Project. And we're discussing an exciting art and humanities project called Still Becoming for justice-impacted women and their families in Maine. This is part two of our episode, Can Art Change the World? Who wants to comment, all of you, if you wish, on what ways does this storytelling play into healing or even a form of resistance? Have you seen that in similar projects, or what is the hope for this particular project in Maine?
I have initial strong thoughts, but curious, John or Dama, if you want to go first.
Yeah, I'll just offer that there's definitely some motivation on my part that we always talk about stigma and how do we reduce stigma and how do we create connections so that people understand, like, someone who has experienced something that they haven't, like what their life is like. And in Maine, where we've unfortunately seen these recent like clean slate and parole bills that have, you know, have come very close to passing but haven't, like, I think a big part of moving public sentiment around that is like connecting people with actual true stories, understanding when you incarcerate someone, you incarcerate the entire family, like everyone is affected by it. Hearing the stories like in this project of like who these women are despite surviving incarceration, like who they are. I think your choice to help name it Still Becoming, Linda, is like a really beautiful title, because it's not what happened or the tragedy or the frustration that we're focusing on, but like what these women are doing and what their families are doing together and becoming, you know, coming out of that experience. So that for me is like a major part of this, and how people maybe think and hear the nuance of like what these women's stories really are, and understand how decisions we make either personally or legislatively affect so many different lives in the state.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I'll open it up to Dama and Ashley. But when you were just talking about that, I think another point is, you know, who is our audience, right? It's everybody and anybody, but you just mentioned legislation, and wouldn't it be great to have point this out and invite legislators to come and see this particular work and watch the video of it as we record the actual process of the wheat tasting, and maybe get some reactions from the folks who were just walking by, your average citizen, right, about how this strikes them. And yeah, to make this truly a community project and not just a reentry project, but right, but everybody in our community have to take part of it in one form or another. Yeah, and I'll open it up. I know, Ashley, you wanted to say something.
No, yeah, I mean, I think John really hit the nail on the head and beautifully said. I mean, a lot of my career for the last 15 or 16 years has been specifically how do we use storytelling to shift the narrative about who is in prison. And I think, you know, maybe just to kind of drill in a little bit further, it's so easy. I mean, I think in general, right, across any group that we don't feel connected to, for us to create very specific ideas about who these people are, about, yeah, what we think they quote unquote deserve, that kind of thing. It's a lot harder to do that when you are up close and personal to someone. And that's just true across any group that you experience difference from, right? And so I think that the more that we can peel back the kind of otherness that we in our society have created specifically around folks who have been involved in the justice system, you know, the way that our media is shaped and is shaping, the way that our movies, our television shows, the stories that they tell about prison and who goes to prison and who's there. And it is incredibly damaging, because the reality is that 95% of people who go to prison in the United States are going to come home and be your neighbor. And so, and they're going to be working with you, and they're going to be the person you're, you know, driving by on the street or drive, you know, in the car next to you. And these are humans that are, we have, I think, a lot of times created this really damaging false narrative about through stereotype. And so the opportunity in this case, it's a photograph, a large scale photograph, and an audio recording, but storytelling can take place in or and take form in so many different ways. But for us to really see who these women are, but then also, and I'm so grateful and so glad that Reentry Sisters is choosing to expand the project to the family members and the loved ones of those who are incarcerated, because, as has already been touched on, incarceration ends up touching whole families and whole groups and whole communities. And so the opportunity to pull that whole web into this image and really show it so that we have to reckon with that. We have to reckon with the system that, we have built and are upholding and are choosing. And so I think that the power here is for us to get to and to have to be quite honest with ourselves as a people that this is what we're choosing, and is this the best choice for us? Or could there be another possibility when we really look at the humanity here? Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Ashley. I love the idea of a reckoning. It's traditionally people are locked away and sort of forgotten about. We don't shine a light on that. And what we do shine a light on is whatever those tropes are in the media. But it's really hard to walk past a wall of large scale portraits of mothers and children and and parents and siblings and ignore that, right? And to not ask the question, who are these people? And perhaps they're not in the category of other, and perhaps I can see myself right in these people, and they can see and relate to me as well. So I love that idea of creating an opportunity for narrative change. Dahmer, did you want to add anything to this part of the conversation?
Yeah, I think for myself, the way that I see, I mean, you mentioned the what makes this radical is really when you put the tools in the hands of the people to speak for themselves and feel empowered, feel their power, and wield that power, their voice to tell their story. I think that's where all of that transformation really starts. And also, I mean, in the project, it's a public art project. So these conversations are happening out on the street. And I think that that in and of itself is also extremely powerful because we're telling people to go out and be seen and to, you know, have it takes courage and it takes there's risk and it takes, you know, a lot of strength to have to do this. And these projects are never accomplished alone. So they always require a group to be, we call them group actions for a reason. It requires a group of people to make these projects possible. And so that as well is also, I think, a really strong example of how much transformation can really take place when people come together, when people use their voice, when people have the tools and the access. That's what makes it, I think, also very radical is that this is a free and public and open access project, that it doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, how old you are, your experience. It's a really, truly open source method. And that's how people can, you know, tell their own story in their own words. It's not somebody else that's coming in. I mean, there's the spark, you know, of the person that maybe has this idea and the concept, but the people that are driving the storytelling are the main characters as well, are the subjects. So I think that that also is very radical of, you know, taking up public space to, like you were saying, being seen and combating the erasure. And combating the narrative.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you. And I love that you brought the word radical in there at Reentry Sisters. We love that word. And we see this, as an act of radical love for ourselves and each other and the rest of our community.
So I love this concept of portraiture as a way to show the faces of a population that is so often othered and hidden from the public view. I'm curious about feedback you've received and what kind of conversations you're hoping to spark within the communities.
The feedback has always been, I mean, it's a very exciting project to participate in because it's something that's very unique. You don't always see the opportunity to be able to like have your portrait printed in such a scale and put out into the street. And so it's a really exciting, process that we see people go through of them like recognizing themselves, seeing themselves in like in a way that they had never been able to see themselves before. And so this feedback really is driven from the process because it's a very process-driven project. It's really less about the outcome, even though that in itself is also important, but it's much more about the journey in getting there because the works of art in themselves are also ephemeral. So everyone goes into this knowing that none of this will be permanent. It's gonna disappear. It's gonna vanish over time. The portraits will fade. The paper will disintegrate. But what is so, life-changing and transformative is what happens in that process of getting there. And so that's definitely the feedback that we've heard from people and how they what they learn about themselves, what they learn about their peers, the connections that they are able to build with one another. And I think that this is definitely something that we're hoping to see in this project, not only for the participants in telling their stories, but also within the community and the relationships that maybe we can build and strengthen in the project.
John, I have a question for you, and then I have a second question both for Ashley and Dama. So, John, you've been deeply involved in working inside Maine's prison systems with arts and humanities programming. And can you share a little bit about how you see art can influence public understanding of incarceration and reentry that in ways that policy alone can't do? How does this show a different perspective, a different side?
Yeah, good question. Through well, so inside Vision, we one of the things that we do is we host this touring gallery show. And Nicole, you're probably best positioned to talk about that and helping manage that. I mean, the name Inside Vision came out partly because it sounded nice, but also it had kind of a double meaning to it of we wanted the work that we do to allow the vision of people inside Maine's prisons to come out into community so that people seeing their work would get a glimpse into like what their inner landscape, what their dreams, what their fears, what their frustrations were like. But we also wanted, and so the other meaning is we wanted to provide vision into the facilities as well, and bringing in visiting artists, visiting filmmakers. Part of that allows people to come inside, see what's happening there, meet the people, learn that they have this incredible, my experience, like incredible creative insight, partially, I think, shaped by their experience. I think it'd be hard not to like experience something like being incarcerated and like having your views of the world and how you and process interpret that through art and writing and music be affected. And it's always a when I bring musicians or artists inside, it's always a hope for me that they will then carry their story and experience of like coming inside the walls and the fences back out into the world and talk about their experience or maybe write about it or create about it, sort of like tapping into the artists and the visiting guests to be like emissaries for that experience and share that. I just had someone actually send me a note. They're a musician that performed at the Women's Reentry Center last week, and we were catching up on a detail, and she's like, "This is all I've been talking about since I was there, and this is, over a week later." And that for me is a real hope that these shared experiences, these creative experiences where we can talk about our pains, our joys, our hopes, allow that perspective, and then that perspective will echo out through both our experiences, but also what we view from the work that gets created outside that we're able to bring out into community galleries and spaces for other people to share.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much for that, John. I think that art touches people in a way that other forms of communication can't. Like when we're talking about changing policy, it's one thing to bring statistics, but our stories are really what changes people's hearts and minds. And it's such a critical piece of changing the narrative and actually changing the system itself. Or better yet, replacing it if we can at some point in time. So you are listening to Justice Radio with your hosts Linda Small and Nicole Lund. And today we are speaking with Ashley Hamilton, Damaris Duncan, and John Courtney about an exciting reentry family and community art program. Ashley and Dharma, you've been involved for a long time now, and I wonder if you could share maybe a particular project that might have been similar that stays with you personally, any particular instance or interaction or a vision, something that just struck you that has stuck with you.
That's specific to Inside Out? Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Yes.
I can say we were recently in Rio for the inauguration of the second Casa building. We were able to open a completely new building and a second building to grow the program. And we were lucky enough to go in person and be there for the inauguration. And in celebration of the inauguration, and also coincidentally overlapping with the 15th anniversary of the project, we also did an Inside Out with some of the community members there from the Mojo de Providencia. And so we got their portraits and printed them, and we pasted them on the stairs going up into the hill, because in order to get to the top of the hill, there's the only way that you can access the top of the hill to get to the house is going up these stairs. And it's like 180 some steps to go up the stairs. There's no, you know, roads. Even anything that you need to get up there to get reach the houses, furniture, you know, people were taking up and down construction materials to build the buildings. You have to go up and down those stairs, you know, day in and day out. And these people, you know, this is like so emblematic of you know, the entrance of their community. We made the installation, the pasting on the steps of the stairs. And so what you could see was from way beyond, like far out from the steps, you could see the faces of the community there. And that was something that was so beautiful, because hardly do we, you know, have the opportunity to go into the communities that we work with in person and do the pastings with them, because we're here in New York, so we facilitate everything remotely. So not only were we able to do this project together with them and be there in person and do the pasting and meet people, you know, the people that were doing, that were in the portraits, that were also doing the pastings with the kids, but, you know, to be able to see that come to life was so beautiful and really touching. And everybody, you could tell, was really, you know, happy about the fact that was happening, because a project like that hadn't happened in a while. We'd done several pastings before. JR had done several pastings on the stairs before, and that's actually how the connection with the community even began, was when he did the Women Are Heroes project. But it had been like probably around 10 years that a pasting hadn't happened, and so we were able to do this for the anniversary and meet everybody there. And from, you know, you have to take a cable car to get to the top of the hill, and seeing the pasting coming in from the cable car, and seeing the moon on top of the house, which is the moon that JR built also some years ago, which is a living, like a room, a tiny room that you can sleep in for the resident artists who go and give classes. So you see the moon, you see the pastings, and it was just like a really beautiful project.
Wow, that sounds extraordinary. Thank you for sharing that. I'm trying to envision that, and it sounds beautiful.
You can see it on our social media, the Can Art Change the World social media, and in the Inside Out Project social media. If you want to, it was so incredible. I had the gift of being there as well and watching Dama, you know, project manage the pasting. You can imagine. I mean, she's not 180 steps, right? And they're pasting strips on each step, so that when you back up, right, you get the image of each of the community members or children from the school, women from the school. There's so many powerful examples, and I do hope that folks can go visit InsideOutProject.net and just, spend some time on the website. It's incredible just to, drop your mouse anywhere on the globe and see the projects that have emerged across 154 countries that have participated in the project. And, just under 600,000 people. So just getting to see incredible humans across our world sharing their images and often, what they care about, what they stand for. But I would say, I mean, of course, what's coming to mind for me, I just got back from Los Angeles, from Tehachapi, from the facility, as I mentioned at the start. And we had the privilege of being able to do a pacing of the, I think it was 22 men who graduated, 23, 22 or 23 men who graduated from our course there. So we took their portraits, or the facility took their portraits, sent them to us, and then we printed them here in New York. And then I flew across the country with them, with my FedEx package in my hand or under my arm. And then, got it into the facility, and then we pasted them up on the prison wall last week, which is powerful in and of itself, just to get to create a piece of communal art with these men and their family members who were able to come and to culminate that class experience and that graduation, creating art together. But I think what was particularly powerful is it was the course was called From Walls to Wings, and it's a brand new course that I co-created with two previously incarcerated men who were both incarcerated at Tehachapi. And if you get to watch the Tehachapi film that I mentioned earlier, you learn Barrett and Corey are their names, and they're heavily involved in our program. And they're featured in the film, so you get to watch their journey. They were both serving life sentences in California when JR arrived at Tehachapi. You follow their journey, very, very powerful. And they both end up getting out. So they've both been out for the last few years, and they're living like big, beautiful, change-making lives. They're both doing incredible work in the community. They have beautiful families, and they're just such incredible example of folks coming home and doing good in the world, and folks who worked really hard on themselves well behind the walls. But we co-created the curriculum, and they actually facilitated the course. So they were going in every week and facilitating, but the course was an exploration of masks. The masks we wear in our lives, the masks we wear just to get through, right? Just to kind of survive the day to day. The masks we wear even from ourselves, like how the ways we hide from ourselves, the masks we wear in our personal, more intimate relationships, and the masks we wear in our communities, all as a form of protection, and often can become dysfunctional protection, right? Like they're no longer. It's a mask that you learn to wear throughout your life that was at one point helpful, but then ends up often creating, harm for yourself or others. And so that was the kind of the theme of the whole class. So for the final portrait, the instruction was show us who you really are behind all the masks. So all of their portraits were these just like lovely images of these deeply authentic humans with those masks off. And those were the photos that were taken and the portraits that were printed and then pasted up on that prison wall. And so I think that was really powerful. And that was just a few days ago, but that will be sticking with me.
That's another thing that we can all relate to as people. We're all wearing masks to a certain degree, and it takes incredible strength to be vulnerable, right? To show the real you beneath the mask. So, yeah, that's beautiful, Ashley. Thank you.
Well, we just had a final question, which is how can others, artists, organizers, and community members get involved or replicate this kind of work in their own communities?
You can visit our website, insideoutproject.net, to learn more about the project and see on our map all of the actions that have happened around the world. And if you're interested in getting in touch with our team, you can send us an email to hello@insideoutproject.net to get in touch with us. If you have any ideas, if you know anybody that you want to get involved in the project together with, that you want to just get in touch with us, you can send us an email. You can follow us on Instagram at Inside Out Project and see, where we share all of the projects that happen around the world. We publish every time we get photos and videos from actions that happen worldwide. So follow us, check our website, send us an email, and we hope to hear from you and help you create a project as well.
And thanks, Dama. And if you want to be involved in the main project specifically, we're looking for stories of women who've experienced incarceration who live in Maine. And you may not have experienced incarceration in Maine, but it's part of your life if you were in a jail or a prison. And you can participate remotely. You can send us your portrait, and we're doing there'll be a website. We should mention we focus on the wheat pasting murals. There'll also be a website since this is a broad state and we know not everyone can get to where the murals are going to be. Website where you can click on the photos and hear like a short interview with each person, the same way they did with the Tehachapi Project. So please reach out. The email address we're using is still becoming Maine, MAINE at gmail.com. And we'll send you instructions on how to take your portrait and a couple prompts that we'll ask you to record on a phone voice message and send to us, and we'll involve you in it. And like we talked about earlier, we want not just women, but we want children, spouses, parents, significant others who want to also talk about what the experience of this woman in your life, this loved one, being incarcerated was like and what they're becoming now. So still becoming Maine at gmail.com. Please reach out. We'll send you instructions on how to get your story and face involved in the project.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ashley, Damaris, and John, for your creativity and enthusiasm for this project for justice-impacted women in Maine and allowing them to tell their stories in this very unique way. And we look forward to hearing more about this project as it progresses. And once again, if you're a justice-impacted woman in Maine or you know of one, please contact us at stillbecomingmaine@gmail.com. And listeners, we have some exciting shows coming up for you on Justice Radio with our new hosts, Healing First. They're a transformative justice collective that's led by survivors of harm, advocating for restorative and transformative justice processes. And please visit Justice Radio show page on WMPG.org for our archived episodes that's aired on WMPG, WERU, and WMHB. And a big thank you to our editor, Aaron Pyle, and to Samuel James for his gift of music that opens and closes each episode in our series.